back in the house of God, and thank you for your people. They have been such a blessing, Lord, and their perseverance, their steadfastness, their love for you and the church, love for our family. I pray, Lord, I can be a blessing tonight about this problem that so many carry about, and it's not necessary. I just pray you'd help me say the right things, help me be a blessing to your people. I ask, Father, for your presence and your power. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And notice, if you would, Luke chapter 10 and verse 37. The Bible says, and there he said, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Yeah, that's right. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now, it came to pass as he went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was coming about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight about the sin of being anxietal or anxious. Now, this is the time of year. It's a perfect time of year. Winter's upon us. All of a sudden, you got to order oil. The holidays, you just spent a fortune for Thanksgiving, which it took about 5-6 hours to cook, and it was gone about 20 minutes. You've got Christmas coming, my birthday, right? And all these burdens that you carry. So, and I want to say this, I only joke about my, I hope you know that, about my birthday. But anyway, the idea is this, you got Christmas, and you know, what am I going to get? The wife, the husband, the kids, the relatives, the boss I don't like, all these different things. And but the idea is this, we're not to be an anxious people. Now, let me give you a definition here of anxious. It's to draw in different directions, to have a distracting care. Example would be one who should dominate, the one who's dominating our thoughts is the Lord, and yet many people are dominated by all sorts of thoughts, all sorts of issues, all sorts of things that have not happened, haven't happened, most likely will not happen, and yet we're so sidetracked by those things. See, what God wants us to be like is to set our affection on things above. We're to be heavenly minded people. Doesn't mean we don't deal with issues in this life. Doesn't mean we don't confront things. Doesn't mean that we don't, confront things, deal with things, fix things. But the main focus in everything we do is God. That's what it should be. And I would venture to say, and sad to say, that God's people many times are tied up and wrapped up in other things but the Lord. And it's because they're sidetracked by feelings of anxiety or being anxious, wondering what could happen, what may happen, and most times they don't happen. They haven't happened, and then most likely won't happen. So notice the first thing, we see the case for being anxious. And Martha was guilty of being anxious. Notice verse 40, we see Martha, and she's fretting, right? Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And then we find her resenting her sister here. It's not fair. I'm doing all the work, and Mary's sitting here just, listening to Jesus. And then she's also dictating what should be happening. But she really had no business dictate. What should have been happening is everyone should have been sitting. Don't worry about the food right now. We'll eat later. Let's listen to what Jesus has to say. Let's have our devotion or the message from the Lord. But that's not what's going on. Martha had her own ideas, and they were her ideas. They weren't God's. And so we find here our Lord calmed her anxiety. Verse 41, he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. That's what her problem was. She was troubled. She was anxietal. She wanted to make sure the meal came out right and everyone liked it. And she got the proverbial, slap on the back, if I can say that way. But that wasn't the issue. The issue was Jesus. His teaching, His word, His ministering to them. And second of all, we find our Lord corrected her activity in verse 42. He said, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. He told her, you're wrong. And so he said, which shall not be taken from her. In other words, she's not getting up to help you. That's your dealing. That's your choice. She did the right thing. In other words, you ought to be doing the same thing. And one man said it seems so out of place that the upright get uptight. According to one doc, anxiety can have several dimensions in regards to depth and degree. A person's anxiety may be something specific. You know, some people get uptight and they hear a dog barking all the time. And, or, you know, maybe while they're driving a car or getting on a plane. I remember Johnny, grandson, was so pumped up about flying when they went down to Florida. And you know, he said, oh, I can't wait. And all of a sudden the plane's up in the air and he looks down. And, I don't know exactly what he said, but he didn't like it. And people get anxiety on planes. They don't like to leave the ground and so on. And then there's acute anxiety. It comes quickly, high intensity, and short duration. There's chronic anxiety, lower intensity, but long-lasting. It's always there, worrying about this, worrying about that. What's going to happen here? Hope they make it. Hope they, you know, all these different things. So then there's normal anxiety when there's a real danger or a neurotic anxiety, abnormal feelings of discomfort when danger is mild or non-existent. Now, a neurotic person is a person who worries about things that never happened in the past, but they relive them. But it never happened. You're past there. And then unlike a normal person who worries about things that never happened in the future. So there's a case for anxiety. We're not to be that way. We're not to be anxious. We're not to be worried about things. I'm telling you, beloved, you see, you tell me you don't worry about things. I don't. I wasn't worried about John's brain operation. I had peace from the Lord that everything was going to turn out right. You said, well, but they're opening up a skull. Right. I believe that Jesus was Lord in that whole situation. I wasn't worried about it. I mean that. And you say, well, it was you. It'd been different. Well, let me just tell you this. They thought at one time I had a brain aneurysm. I mean, they put me in the hospital immediately. Before MRIs were approved, I went out to Cornell University here from North Dakota. My wife and I drove back. And I think Liz would amen this. I wasn't worried about it. He said, that's your personality. No, that's my faith. We're not to worry. God tells us not to worry. But what if something happens? Well, then He'll guide us and direct us. But if you're not in touch with Him, He's not going to. The cause of being anxious. And what is anxiety? Well, first of all, what causes anxiety is a lack of facts. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by what? The Word of God. So worry is the result of a basic lack of trust in God. It stems from either a lack of knowledge of God or His promises or lack of salvation. We're not to be worrywarts. We're not to be fretting. I know, I'm not fretting worry. I'm just concerned. All right, however you want to define it, I'm not playing, you know, word games here, semantics. What I'm saying is that we're not to be fretful people, worried people. Now, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Later on down the line of the nine of them, there's faith. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The worry is not the fruit of the Spirit. That's the work of the flesh. Well, you don't understand my personality. It has nothing to do with personality. Nothing to do. And you've heard me say this before, and I say it time and time again. I told my family, when you see me worry, that's when you worry. Until that time, cease and desist. Amen? There's no reason to worry. Number two, another cause of anxiety is fear. Worry is emotional distress. It's emotional distress caused by anticipating unknown adversity. Now, what if I came in here tonight and said, beloved, I think ISIS is going to be here tomorrow. Now, they may come. I don't know what you know, but I'm telling you, our country's in a fix tonight. It's in a fix tonight. That man who died in the summer in Staten Island, that was murder. I don't care what people think. Say, well, he should have submitted himself. He wasn't fighting them. When a guy says, I can't breathe, he wasn't going to jump up and run. The guy was obese. The police officer was wrong, the chokehold and everything. And he should have been indicted. Now, what would punishment be? I'm not here to say that. But for some to say, no, he did his job, I don't believe that at all. That's my opinion. If you disagree, that's fine. But when someone, I've watched, look, I'm not a cop or the son of one, but I've watched enough real cop shows. It's a lot of it's psychology. And here he was, what was he doing? He was selling cigarettes illegally. I'm not promoting it. But here's Al Sharpton sitting in the White House who owes our government over almost $2 million of back taxes. Why wasn't he arrested? Why wasn't he taken to jail? Why didn't they bring down his organization? I'll tell you this much, Randy, you owed almost $2 million, you'd be in jail. See, there's something wrong. Something doesn't smell right. But see, lots of times we can get anxiety about our country, get anxiety about the world condition. But we were told these things. We were told these things were going to happen in Matthew chapter 24. This is not something that just sprung on us. Been preaching this since 85 that America is going to be neutralized, and we're being neutralized. But let not your heart be troubled. You know what Jesus said? Now, what do you think? That was just a fill for chapter 14 of John? Let's just make the chapter a little bit longer? He meant what he said. Why? I'm going to come again. And I'm going to take you where I'm taking you to heaven. Book of Thessalonians chapter 4. What is he saying? So shall we ever be with the Lord. The rapture takes place, beloved, and all our cares are behind us. I'm not saying that we should be carefree or anything like that, but I'm just telling you this, well, you ought not be worried. Well, what if this, well, what if it doesn't? Right? What if it doesn't? So it's so important that we don't act on fear. Again, worry is emotional distress caused by anticipating unknown adversity. Worry is a thin steam, a stream of fear that trickles through the mind and encourages cut a wind channel that drains away all other thoughts. It takes us away from thinking about God and trusting God and worshiping God and believing God and loving God. That's what it does. And you know that to be true. When you're in a worried mode, anxiety mode, you're not trusting God. Amen, preacher. Hey, thank you, brother. That was really nice. Thank you for the amen. So number three is a lack of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. It's foolishness. Let me take you to the book of Matthew real quick. Put a marker there and Luke will be right back. But Matthew chapter 6. I know how people think. I know people argue with me sometimes in their minds about the message. Now, that's crazy. If you're going to argue with someone, argue face to face. Don't be behind your Bible and your mind saying, no, I don't believe you. He doesn't understand my situation. Doesn't matter what your situation is. Doesn't matter. Where's the case here where God says to be, oh, in this case, you can worry. Where is that? I mean, in chapter 5 of Matthew, God deals with persecution, men mistreating us, you know, all these different things. And God doesn't say in those cases, be fretful. Now notice, if you would, Matthew 6 and verse 26 to 30. And the Bible says here in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. So we're talking about the birds. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now anyone, I'm not fooling around. Maybe there's someone here who thinks that the bird's better than them. Anyone here think that birds are better than you? So here's God saying, very plainly, are ye not much better than they? And why are we better? We're made in the image of God. A bird's not made in the image of God. Now, no doubt there's someone arguing, well, my parakeet is, you know, a special one. No, no. They don't sow. They don't have farms. There's no bird farms. They're not out there like farmers, you know. And yet God takes care of them. Second of all, he says in verse 21, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? So let's just say that you're vertically challenged. You taking thought about it. I wish it was bigger. I wish it was bigger. I wish, I wish, I wish. That's not going to change a thing. And then he says, verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment, clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall not much more clothe you, O ye of little what? Faith. That's what Jesus said. So we can be foolish in our thinking. And again, the idea here is that God promises to take care of us. He takes care of, please understand this, insignificant things. The bird. You say, well, they're not even, they're very important. All right. So do you know where all the birds live? You don't know. You don't know one from the other. Lots of times they don't differentiate themselves outside of the different types of birds. But can you tell the difference between blue jays? Oh, they just rah, and scream, and birds chase them, and they eat worms, and they live in a nest. They're not that important in the grand scheme of everything. So then you consider what he said here about the flowers of the field, the, you know, the grass. Now, we spend a lot of money on grass. And yet, thankful for it, but compare that to you. Are you more important than the grass? If God takes care of these insignificant things, will he not take care of you? But I'm worried. All right, well, there's your problem. Seek ye first what? King of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you're worried, O ye of little faith. Does that make sense? So, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you're shooting yourself in the foot when you consider, you know, being faithless. Being faithless. The third thing we see is the consequences of being anxious. So anxiety causes a lot of problems. Emotional damage. The person who's anxious is robbed of joy and peace. Do you ever get around a nervous Nelly? A person's really, really nervous and anxietal. They're not nice to be around. They're not. They're worried about everything. Then there's physical damage. Anxiety can result in all sorts of physical problems. Heart problems can cause problems with, you know, different organs of the body. A loss of appetite, a long-range physical problem, inability to sleep, all these things. Then there's social damage. Basically, a person who is a chronic worrier is not much fun to be around. His friendships cannot flourish in an atmosphere of anxiety. Who wants to be around someone who's always down and worried, and what if this, and what if that, and, you know, I hope this doesn't happen, hope that. You've got to live by faith. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says to love life. But preacher, you got all these problems. We do. And that's why you want the peace that passes all understanding. I mean, it doesn't make sense that we're peaceful people in the midst of all these problems. And we've got problems. Best thing to do is do your part. Seek God's will for your life. Please the Lord. But don't be worrying about these things. But what if? But what if not? There's also spiritual damage. We cause ourselves not to be right with the Lord. Now, let me give you the cure to anxiety. That's what I want to focus on for the next few minutes, and we'll close. So, notice, if you would, back in our text. back here in Luke chapter 10. So consider Martha's sister Mary. Moses, if you remember in the Old Testament, with his back up against the wall of the Red Sea, you think about the Egyptian army that with vengeance, they're coming after Israel. Israel is defenseless. And, you know, people are complaining, crying. And Moses says this. He says, listen closely. He says, fear not. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of our God. Matter of fact, later on in the verse, he said, and our God's going to deliver us. Now, if there's a place to worry, I mean, you got the Egyptian army coming after you. They were going to take them back into slavery, slaughter some of them, and then you had the Red Sea behind you. There was no place unless everyone swam. So he said, fear ye. That was the first thing he said, don't fear. God led us out here. He's going to take care of us. Stand still and see the salvation of God. So fear not, stand still. See, there's something to be said, beloved, about being still and letting God speak to you. It's like trying to do your devotions with the TV on, the computer, music playing. Yeah, you don't have a very good devotion with all these other things going on. You've got to shut everything down and be quiet. Be still. Let the Spirit of God speak to you as you're reading His Word. And minister to your heart. You've got to be still. Sometimes there's so much coming at us at one time, and it is. There is a lot coming at us. Shut it all down and get your focus right. So we find here in Luke chapter 10, and notice verse 40, we see here where Mary puts aside her cares. And verse 40, the Bible says, and Martha was coming about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister left me in to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. But see, Mary, what she did is she sits down at Jesus' feet and she put aside her cares. You say, preacher, these things are so pressing. All right. Well, let me ask you this. What would be better? Would it be better with all these pressing needs? And I realize that some of us deal with a lot of pressure a lot of times. Would it be better, before dealing with all these things, to first get in touch with God? Amen. I mean, what's better? Do your devotions, pray, and then go before the situation you have to deal with and deal with it. It's always better, beloved. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. So that's what Mary did. She was not distracted. Martha was distracted. She was cumbered about. She was driven about mentally. You know what that means? It means her thoughts are going all different ways. What if, you know, look at me, I'm serving. Oh, I got to make sure I don't, you know, burn the gefilte fish, you know, or whatever the thing they were doing. She's in all different directions, not even thinking what Jesus is saying. I'm telling you, she didn't hear what he said. And there's Mary, sitting there. She's not worried about food. Remember Jesus said to the disciples in John 4, they came out of Samaria, they had food on them, and he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. It wasn't a sin what they were doing, but it wasn't the best what they were doing. There are things that are far more important. See that woman converted? That woman gets saved, what happens? Many Samaritans get saved. That was far more important. Why? The Bible says the angels rejoice in heaven. So think about the rejoicing that was going on in God's heart, the Son of God's heart, over those that were saved, over the victory. Second of all, we find here that Mary fed her soul. Notice, if you would, verse 39. The Bible says that she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. See, she was feeding his soul. The idea of first the spiritual. And then Martha was all physical. Food, you got to get the food out. And then Mary was the spiritual. Now turn with me for a moment to Matthew chapter 4. Great verse of Scripture. Matthew 4, Jesus led into the wilderness. And the devil tempts him after 40 days, 40 nights of fasting. And the devil tested him here in verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, I'm telling you, I can't wait to get to this message in Matthew 4. But think what he said, "If thou be the Son." He used to be there worshiping God. He was the greatest angel. "If thou be the Son of God." Boy, I'm telling you. Verse 4, here's the answer. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Nothing wrong with bread. Nothing wrong with food. But the Bible says here that you're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so here, that's what Mary was doing. She was being spiritually fed. She had her soul being fed from the very Son of God. And then third of all, again, verse 39, Mary, what she does is focus on her priorities. The Lord, God's will. So Mary also sat at the feet of Jesus, or Jesus' feet, and heard his word. So may I add this, that she not only heard the word, but she believed it. She believed it. Now, you've been in church service before. You hear something you haven't heard before, or something you never heard in that fashion before, and right away you leave here, "I don't know about that. I got to think about that one. I don't know. So on and so forth. She didn't question the Word of God. The Bible says that settles it. Doesn't matter what I think. It's what God says. And so we find here that she believes. So here's the question. Is sitting at the feet of Jesus a priority in your life? Now think about that. Say, "Preacher, you know, I got to get up. I got to get the kids out the door. I got to get to school. I got to get to work. You know, it's very difficult." All right, I understand that. I understand that. It's an old adage, you can't hoot with the owls if you're going to fly with the eagles. Right? So if you're staying up late and watching, you know, the late night movie, don't plan on getting out of bed with energy and ready to tackle the day. And the problem isn't that you have to get up and get the kids and so on. The problem is you should get up a little bit earlier. "I can't in my house." All right. So what if you got up earlier, got to work half hour earlier, and did your devotion? Or if you're riding by yourself, put a CD in and pay attention. Shut your phone off and pay attention to the Word of God. Let it speak to your heart. You know, if you have a half hour to get to work, an hour to get to work, you have, you know, half the time is listening to the Word, half the time is praying. We do what we want to do. Amen? We do what we want to do. And there's always time to spend time with God. And that's what Mary did. She put God first. What about hospitality? Hospitality? You have the Son of God in your house. What are you worrying about food? If you want, you say, "Lord, I don't doubt that Mary probably asked him." She said, "Lord, do you want to eat right now? Do you want to teach? I'm going to teach for a while. Then we'll eat." Not Martha. Ooh, so important how I look. So important how I appear. Got to get the food on the table. But that wasn't Mary. And so what does she find? She finds peace, spiritual food, rest, contentment, spiritual fulfillment at the Lord's teaching. And let me just throw a couple of thoughts out here. We're done. About anxiety. Learn to trust the Lord. And here's what the Bible, here's what God says. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. He shall. I've had people come to me and say, "Or preacher, I've prayed about it. I've asked the Lord, I want to do your will. What should I do now?" I said, "Expect it. He shall direct thy path." That's what God said. God's not a liar. Means what he says. Learn to cast your care upon the Lord. Think about that opportunity. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Why do you carry it around? Why don't you leave it with God? Why don't you obey his command? You know why? Let me tell you. Because most people are CFs, control freaks. I don't want to take this to the Lord. They are more important things. Oh, yeah. Sure. He only knows the matter of hair on your head. He knows tomorrow. He knows the beginning and the end. He tells you to cast his care upon you, upon him, but no, you're smarter than God. That is foolishness, beloved. That's foolishness. To have a direct command instead of you carrying this around, let the Lord carry. Oh, I couldn't do it to him. He tells you to do it. He commands you to do it. Third of all, learn to pray. Learn to talk to the Lord. Learn to worship God. Let them know you love them. You'll tell God every day you love them. I mean that with all my heart. You know, my wife and I and our family, you know, and I know there are other families, but they always express love for each other. I love you. I'll see you later. I love you. That needs to be said to God. And maybe one time in your prayer, just tell him why you love him. Thank him for who he is. His great attribute, his holiness. The Bible calls it the beauty of his holiness. Think how beautiful it is to be without sin. His omnipotence. There's nothing too hard to God. God can do anything. His immutability is the same. Yesterday, today, forever. His omniscience, omnipresence, his being just, his eternality, his wrath, his veracity. He's a God of truth. And then think about his love, his faithfulness, his goodness, his mercy, his long-suffering with us. That's his attributes. I love for that. And then all that he's done for. Even though we have not seen him, we love him. You need to express that to God. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for his son, Jesus. I always thank God for his birth, Jesus' life. I thank him for his death, his burial and his resurrection, and his soon return. Thank him for that. Thank him for the Spirit of God. Thank him for separation. You live a separated life. Oh, you don't do. You're not allowed to do this. You know, Tim told me a story when he was down in Florida to be with John before and during the operation. And Rebecca's grandfather, Lester Cipher, good guy, has a ministry down there of feeding people, feeding the poor, and so on. Well, there's one section. What's the name of the place, Tim? Where is he?
Moon Lake.
It is bad, beloved. It is bad. People live in tents everywhere. Drugs, alcohol, prostitution. I mean, people tattooed all over. People just not right. And yet Lester set up bought a little strip mall around there and put a barbershop in there, a food kitchen, put a laundromat in there, and trying to take care of the people. A bad area. And the idea is this, beloved, yet what's their problem? Their problem is that they're not sought first the kingdom of God. That's the problem. They're trying to do it their way. Their lives are all messed up. So they're unseparated. Here we are separated. And, oh, you don't drink? What's wrong with you? Oh, you don't take drugs? Oh, you dress modestly? Oh, what's wrong with you? It's called being in your right mind. That's what it's called, obedience to God. That's what it's called. And it's called an uncomplicated life. Think about all the stuff you save yourself from. Because you're separated from the world. So learn to pray, learn to share and bear your burdens with the Lord. Learn to live one day at a time. And again, the idea of, you know, when the things come in your life that you can get anxietal about, say, Lord, I don't want to be this way. I'm gonna cast it on you. You know what's going on, Lord. You know the situation, my marriage, the family, the job, the in-laws, outlaws, whatever the thing may be. You know what's going on. And Lord, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to get in the middle of it. I'm not going to become the drama queen, the drama king. I don't want drama in my life. Lord, I'm going to trust you. Just give me wisdom what to do. Remind me. Give me verses. Help me do the right thing. Help me glorify you. Whatsoever I do, word or deed. I'm just telling you, beloved, that's the way to live. To live worrying. Now, somebody's turned me off when I first told you about anxiety. He said, well, I'm not listening to this. Well, your life would have to change 100%. You'd have to submit yourself to the Word of God. You don't want to do that. So you'd rather go on worrying. Let me just tell you, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also what? It's not going to be pleasant when you reap it. God says, trust Him, and trust Him with everything. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And do what you can do. Trust God for everything else. All right, let's stand on our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one looking around. Father, thank you so much for thy word. Thank you for peace.